Abby was a darling child, a bright-eyed, beautiful, smiling, happy, dancing child. I was blessed to be her pastor now about 25 years ago. Abby was 6, maybe 7 years old. She was happy and excited all the time, but especially her first Sunday to get to take communion. Up until now, she'd always sat in the pews with her grandparents while her parents and her brother and sister got to go down and receive communion. And then the parents would come back, and then the grandparents would go, leaving her there with her mom and dad. But this Sunday was going to be different. This Sunday, she was excited. This Sunday, she was happy. She was going to get to go down with mom and dad and brothers and sisters and take communion, eat communion, receive communion, eat the Jesus bread. I loved that phrase, the Jesus bread. That pretty much says it all, doesn't it? The Jesus bread. Theologians can debate and argue all they like about the meaning of Holy Communion. I'm one of them, by the way. My doctorate was in the theology of Holy Communion. Where does communion come from? How do we understand it? What does it do for us? How is Jesus present in it for us? Our siblings in the Roman Catholic Church have an understanding called transubstantiation that explains how Jesus is present in the bread and the wine. They say that the outward substance of the bread and the wine may remain bread and wine, but inside, ontologically, that's a big word, fundamentally, the bread and the wine become the body and blood of Jesus. And that's the way they receive the real presence of Christ. Methodists come from the Anglican tradition of the church, in which we talk about the real presence of Jesus being conveyed to us through the bread and the wine, through our eating of the bread and drinking of the cup. We say that the real presence of Jesus, His grace and His power, His love and His strength are conveyed through the elements of the bread and the wine. As we eat and drink them, they themselves remain bread and wine, but when we eat with our faith focused on them, they convey to us, they transmit to us, they become conduits for the abiding real presence of Jesus in our lives. The Jesus bread, in other words. Abby was right. That's what it is. The Jesus bread. Now, Jesus talked about bread in many different places in the stories, in the Gospels. He also made bread multiply, as when He fed the 5,000. It was common for Him to meet with the disciples or with others, and He would take the bread, and He would bless it, and He would break it, and then He would give it to those who were there. Bread is important. Bread is important in the Hebrew understanding of worship life as well. It's present in the Passover Seder. They have specific prayers that are designed to be prayed over the bread at family gatherings and at synagogue gatherings. Bread is very important. Bread was important in the Exodus wanderings. The manna in the wilderness. They were starving, they were hungry, and they complained to Moses. And Moses asked God, and God sent the manna. And the manna was that mysterious divine gift of nourishment that they found, the bread that they found on the fields in the morning, and they would go and they would gather it and they would eat and they would be filled. And when they got it, they looked at it and they said, "Manna, what is it?" And that's how it got its name, the "what is it" bread, manna, the "what is it" bread. Today we ask, you know, what, how could it be? What was it? Well, that misses the point. Also misses the point of how Jesus uses it here and how the Jews were using it here when they asked Him questions, when they said to Him, "Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat." God provided us with a wonderful gift in the manna, bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus answered them, "Very truly, I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. The true bread of heaven is what he's talking about here. I am the bread of life, he said. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread, and it's almost as if he's referencing himself and pointing to himself here. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Now, there's a lot to focus on here. Whole books can be written about this subject. In fact, whole books have been written about this. In fact, I wrote a book about this subject. This is such a deep, troubling passage, a passage that makes you scratch your head and wonder, what could he mean here? How can we understand this? How can we apply this here? But the focus should not be missed. Jesus' focus here should not be missed. Jesus identifies himself, firstly, with the manna in the wilderness, and then he says he goes beyond it. His grace, his love, his presence, his peace, his mission, his way of living is far and above superior to the manna that was given in the wilderness. Jesus' message, Jesus' life, Jesus' way of life, Jesus' gifts are far above, far more nourishing, far more lasting, far more eternal than the manna, the miraculous gift of bread. The what is it bread in the wilderness? Your ancestors, he said, your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. The manna was heavenly nourishment, a gift from God, but it didn't last. It wasn't eternal. This, he says about himself, this is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread. He's talking about himself, his spirit, his way of life, the way of life that he has for us to live. His words, his teachings, his healings, his presence is our bread of life. The true bread that comes down out of heaven, the Jesus bread. Abby was right. The Jesus bread comes down out of heaven and nourishes us and feeds us. I have never been more nourished, my friends, than when I've gathered together with the church, with my sisters and brothers, my siblings in the faith. When I've gathered together to sit and to eat and to drink and to share our joys and concerns, our prayers, our celebrations, and sit and talk and listen, I've never been more nourished than just to sit back and chat and be filled with a reminder of God's love and presence in the person I'm sitting next to or I'm sitting across from. I've never been more nourished than to gather with friends in Bible study, to open the scriptures and to read and to struggle with it and ask questions of it and to question it and doubt it and fight over it and disagree about it. And that's all good, because we grow and are nourished in the process of reading and discussing, considering and changing our mind and growing anew and afresh. I've never been more nourished than to join in with the choir and the singing of hymns, to lift my voice in song, in praise and thanksgiving to God. I've never been more nourished than when I have engaged in the life of the family of faith, when I've come to the table of the Lord to receive, when I've come to the table of the Lord to share. I've never been more nourished than when I've been in the presence of the body of Christ, the church. That's what Jesus is speaking about here. That's what the Jesus bread is and does for us. That's what it did for Abby. She was excited. She was happy. She knew she was going to be able to partake of this bread and be part, even more part. She was already a wonderful part. Even more a part of the life of the church. I remember when she's coming down. She comes down holding mom and dad's hands and she's skipping with excitement. Oh, if only we could come to the table of the Lord, which with such excitement, my friends, with such rejoicing at receiving the presence of Jesus afresh. She comes down to the altar rail and she kneels between her mommy and her daddy, and I'm going down the line and body of Christ, body of Christ, body of Christ. I come to her. I look down and she just looks up with me with this massive grin from ear to ear, with her hands cupped, ready to receive. And I remember, I can see this in my mind, I'll never forget it. I took the bread, I broke it from the loaf, and I dropped it into her palms, and I said, "Abby, here's the Jesus bread for you." And you know what she did? Mostly we say, "Amen." She goes, "Yay, God! Oh, wow, what an amen! Yay, God!" Oh, the excitement of being fed by the love of Jesus. She knew it. She experienced it. She anticipated it. And then she did it. So I move on to her dad, and I place the bread in his hand, body of Christ. I move over to the next person, and as I'm communing them, I hear her, after she's gotten her little sip of the drink from the little cup, she goes, "Yum, yum," real loud. Everybody heard it. We all laughed. Yum, yum. Abby is right. The Jesus bread, the yum, yums of God for us. Yay, God, indeed. Come to the table of the Lord today, my friends. Come to the sacrament of Holy Communion and feast on the Jesus bread and be filled with the yum-yums of God for us in Jesus Christ our Lord. Know His presence. Know His love. Know God's grace. Know God's peace. And share God's grace and peace with others as you go out these doors and into this world. A world that needs to hear of the love of God, of the yay God, of the yum-yums of God. Go out these doors into this world and share that wonderful abiding presence of the bread of life that we receive here today and every day. Come and partake the sacrament of Holy Communion and say, "Yea, God," with Abby. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and may God's people say, Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and a joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. You've poured out your Holy Spirit upon us and fed us with your manna from on high. And therefore, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn saying, "Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and the recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when he would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, the Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave the cup to his disciples and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of the faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with your Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. As our Savior Christ has taught us, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
In your prayer.